I want you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10 tonight. Read verses 1 through 3, Luke 10. Verse number 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Let's go to verse 17. And the 70 returning again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. We want to preach tonight from this 20th verse. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Many times throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, we have reference to the book. Sometimes it's called a book of life. Different titles attached to it. But I think I can show you by the scriptures that it's always making reference to the same book and the ones that we'll read and point you to. Jesus said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Where are they written? Well, they're written in what we commonly refer to as the book of life. First time we see any reference to this is in Exodus 32, verse 32. I would like to read that. If you would turn there, Exodus 32, 32, where Moses, making intercession for Israel because of their sin, pleads with the Lord to forgive their sin. He says in verse 31, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin. Exodus 32, 31. They've sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Talking about Aaron made that golden calf while he was up on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments. Verse 32, and now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So we have a reference here to a book that God has written. And as I say, sometimes it's just called a book. Jesus said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And I believe the scriptures make this clear, that they're written in the Lamb's book of life. Another place we find a reference to this is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, in a church that Paul had gone to, and it's the same church we spoke of this morning where he was beaten and his back was laced with stripes, put in prison. But in chapter 4 of this church letter, he pleads with the pastor, I believe. Therefore, verse 1, Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast. As he said to Timothy, endure hardness. Don't back down. Verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Evidently, we're quarreling among themselves. Verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So called here as the book of life. Other places we find reference to names being written in a book. Daniel chapter 12. Verse number 1, whose names are written in the book. The book that thou hast written, we find also back in Exodus. Making reference to one book, and I want to prove that to you. Now we'll go to Revelation chapter 20 and try to impress this upon you before we continue. But in the 20th chapter of Revelation, at the final judgment, I believe, of the lost. Most of you know that this is in the scripture. You've read this with me. Verse 11 says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Every person who died without Christ, lost. And the books, plural, were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. At the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment seat of the lost, the books were opened, and we understand that to mean the Bible teaches us that people's deeds are written in books. God keeps a record of it. But in comparison or contrast to that, another book was opened, which is the book of life. So the books versus the book. One book, which we find reference to throughout the scripture. Look in verse 15, the same chapter. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God keeps books, and he keeps perfect books. He doesn't do a sloppy job like some might do, but he writes things down. We need to be aware of that. Our loved ones who are lost, who will die lost, not one sin that they commit will escape the judgment of God. No matter how small it may seem to men, no matter how trivial it may be in the eyes of the world. I was going to preach this morning in the message, What Happened to Sin? Sin's still going on, but what's happened to the message about sin? You don't hear much about it anymore. The Bible was written because of sin. The Ten Commandments were given because of sin, but you don't hear much about it anymore. What happened to the teaching about sin? But there's several references in the Bible about the book of life, and particularly in the book of Revelation, there's seven specific references to it that I want to look at tonight, having gone through this point and trying to understand what Paul is talking about and what Jesus talked about when he said, rejoice not in the fact that the demons are made subject to you. That certainly would be something to make them rejoice. These are the 70 that he sent out after he sent the 12 out the first time. And then he sent another 70 out. We read that to you. And they come back rejoicing because the demons, the spirits, wicked spirits, have been made subject to them. They can cast them out. But Jesus said, don't rejoice in this. And then he said, I've given you power over serpents. I've given you power over poisonous demon, poisonous animals that can bite you. I've given you power over all things, but don't rejoice in this. Rather rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. So he emphasized this, and I think we need to emphasize it. Now, as we read through these references, I think you'll see they're grouped together in the book of Revelation. First of all, let's look in Revelation 13, verse number 8, because it gives us some information here that will help to explain some things. 13th chapter of Revelation, let's read verse number 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. This is something future. It's not happened yet. Having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns were 10 crowns, and upon his heads were the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. This is coming. I've been warning you, beloved. The world is being set. The stage is being set. The last few presidents that we've had in America have all been globalists. And they've made that plain in the things they're stressing. They want a worldwide global authority. Now, so far, they've not been able to do that. I think that's what our present president is also pushing. Now, why would that be? Because God is working some things about to make this beast that we're reading about. Verse 3 says, I saw one of his heads as it was, or as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. It's coming. People today, you're not getting my gun. Well, the time will come when you won't hear that. There may be some try to resist, but beloved, the Bible says that there's coming one that the world's going to wonder after. They're going to be amazed at him. They're going to submit to him. Read further, verse number 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, who's like unto the beast, who's able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, that's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. We do believe the word of God, don't we? We can read this very simple. Can we not? This is prophecy. The power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, a one world government. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. You'll find several references in Revelation that read similar to this. Their names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now notice verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. You find that several times in Revelation. Beloved, we need to pay attention to these things that are so clearly spelled out as warnings to us. We need to understand a lot of the things that happen that we don't understand are by the design and purpose of God, because he's going to bring this about. The world can't bring about a worldwide government. How many men have tried to do it? And they fall flat on their face. They can't do it. But if God is behind it, if the providence of God is bringing it about, it will come to pass. And the Bible says in verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. A man. He's referred to here as a beast. We read about him in 2 Thessalonians. The Antichrist, the man of sin. He's the same person, but he's one man. And the Bible warns us, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Let's go to chapter 17 now of Revelation. Read further. chapter 17, verse 1, and there one of the seven angels which had the seven vials talk with me, saying, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. Remember later on in Revelation, the angel says, come, I'll show you the marriage of the Lamb. And we see New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. But here, I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. This is the same beast we read about in Revelation 13. Full of names of blasphemy, you see the identification. Having seven heads and ten horns, you can't miss that. It's very specific. It's giving you the identification of this beast and the one that the woman is sitting upon. Verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. This is not a good woman. This woman is wicked. And beloved, you may not understand this fully, but understand this. This is the religions of this world all combined together. And they're not glorifying God. They don't even want to glorify God. Verse 5, and her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast which that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. You see exactly the same reference. Their names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here's a mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. I'm going to stop reading there and go to verse number 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they are that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The word chosen is the same word we made reference to this morning. Eklektos. They're called and chosen and faithful. He saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. A religious city is coming. One city that's going to rule over all the religions of this world. And she is that mystery Babylon the Great, great whore, the mother of harlots. But notice what's written about her. Verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. The book, singular, not books, the book of life. So it's referenced again in chapter 17. We read in chapter 20, verses 12. And I'm going to go back and read a little more of that in chapter number 20, beginning with the seventh verse, because there's more to add to this that we need to understand. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. There's going to be a period of time on this earth when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years, Satan is going to be bound in the bottomless pit. But this scripture tells us he's going to be loosed again. He'll go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. The same people that have lived in relative peace and quiet, when Satan is turned loose again, he's going to go out and deceive them just like he did the first time. Verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. God's going to judge them. And I saw a great white throne. Well, let's read verse 10. I'm sorry. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They're already there. Back in chapter number 19, at the end of that great battle of Armageddon. Verse 20, chapter number 19. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. I know these things are hard for us to comprehend. It's hard for us to really imagine this world being under the control of one man and all the wickedness and all the sin that's going to be everywhere you turn. But, beloved, we ought to see the prelude to it. Just look around you. See what's happening to the world. And understand, when God withdraws his hand from this earth, it's going to become exceedingly wicked. And one man is going to come in, and he's going to set up this worldwide dominion, because God's going to let him do it. But one of the marks of this man and his false prophet, they're headed to destruction. The first to go into Gehenna. No one's in Gehenna at this time. In Revelation 19, when the Bible says they were cast alive, a man and a false prophet, cast alive into Gehenna, into the lake of fire. And now in Revelation chapter number 20, verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now there's three there. All three of these wicked beings, Satan, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet who calls the world to worship this beast, are now all three in Gehenna. The devil was deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. We can't understand that. But it's declared. We ought to try to understand it. It simply means there'll never be an end to it. They're going to be tormented alive. They were cast in alive. They're living here. They'll be living forever in the sense that they cannot die. The beast can't die. The false prophet can't die. And Satan can't die. They're going to be tormented forever. But now let's go further. In verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. And beloved, you know people in your family that are not saved. God gives us this vivid picture. Can you see them there? I know we can't do anything to save them except to try to be a better witness. To try to have a burden and a concern for the fact that these people are going into a place of torment that will never cease. They can't die. You know, we have a lot of problems. Even in this life, we get sick and we wish we could die sometimes. But this is a place where there is no death. They cannot cease to exist. It is a place of death, but they cannot cease to exist. They're going to suffer. I saw them stand, and the books was open. The books were open in verse 12, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, not book, but in the books, the record of all of their activities on this earth, every sin they committed, according to their works. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. You watched a movie probably about the Titanic and all the people that went down in the sinking of the Titanic. Their bodies went into the sea. They weren't buried except in water. But the Bible says the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. The souls of men are reunited with their bodies. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death and hell. Every lost person. Every person from Adam to the very end that died in his sins, loving his sin, enjoying his sin, refusing to repent, refusing the offer of God of eternal life. They're cast into the lake of fire, and you know who's there? The beast, the false prophet, and Satan himself. This is the second death. Verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Why was the book of life there? As we read back in verse number 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was. Why was this book open? There's no names found of this group of people. Not one name is found in that book called the book of life. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's a terrible thought, and it's a chilling thought, but beloved, it's reality. The Bible is real. The things we record in the Bible are real things. They're not, someone said this morning, people think it's fairy tales. They don't believe the Bible is a real book. They don't believe the things that are recorded in the Bible, but they're all true. The earth did open her mouth and swallow up Korah and his rebellion. God did rain fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and the plains, or the cities of the plain. He did. It's reality. It's real. And God is going to judge this earth again, and God's going to have a final judgment where all are going to be judged. And beloved, if their names are not written in the book of life, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. A lake of fire. You wonder why it's described in such a manner? I believe it engulfs people. It's like you jumped into a lake of water, except there's no water. It's fire. And they're completely submerged in it, and there's no escape. That's the message of the gospel. John the Baptist came preaching, flee the wrath to come. Sin. Sin is real. Death is real. Judgment is real. And God is going to judge men. And the testimony that you read in the book of Revelation time and time again is they're judged and cast into the lake of fire because their names are not written in the book of life. Now let's go one other place, Revelation 21, verse number 1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ according to the very beginning of the book of Revelation. That's the way that's the connotation we have. Chapter 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The contrast is the great whore, that wicked woman, detestable, ugly, ungodly. And here's a city. That woman is called Mystery Babylon the Great. But here we find the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband, a virgin bride. Not like the great whore. As we read further in this chapter, You find in verse 22 of chapter 21, "And I saw no temple therein." Now the description of this city is found throughout this chapter. I didn't want to read all of that. But verse number 22, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." The Father, the Son. Of course, we understand the Spirit, three persons in the Godhead. "I saw no temple, for the Lord God is the temple of it." Verse 23 reads, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." The Lamb is the light of the New Jerusalem. There's no need for a sun. There's no need for a moon. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." He's also the light of this world. Verse 24, "The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it." You see, God does promise. "Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation." And it's depicted here as the nations of them which are saved. Nations, thousands upon thousands of people, are walking in the light of this city. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. There's going to be evidently a kingdom. There's going to be kings over portions of this new heavens and new earth. And they're going to bring their glory and honor into it. Verse 25, "The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." An everlasting day. It'll always be day. There's no need to shut the gates of the city. And remember back when they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, they had to rebuild the gates because the enemy would slip in at night. But there's no night here. Let's read on. "They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth." Nothing that defiles in any way. "Neither whatsoever worketh abomination." None of the wicked things that we see in this world today. Continually. "Or maketh a lie." All the lying that's going on. "But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." This is pretty descriptive. If a person dies lost, they're going to be cast into a lake of fire. But a person who dies saved shall walk in the light of this city, shall go in and out, bring their glory and honor because their names are written in the Lamb's book, singular, book of life, one book. But that's not the last time it's mentioned. Let's read further in chapter number 22. As we see, John continued to reveal this new Jerusalem. First of all, let's read in Matthew 25, verse 34, and then we'll come back to this. Matthew 25, verse 34. The Lord Jesus teaching here. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Every time, many times when we read about the book of life, of the Lamb prepared before the foundation of the world. Notice how it corresponds with this. "The king shall say, Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in." Those that have been saved by the grace of God, whose names are written in the book of life. Ephesians 1, verse number 4, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Notice the wording here. according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We're going to walk in a holy city, in a holy state, never to know sin again. Those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be eternally dying. But those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ will be eternally living. And that's hard for us to really grasp. But beloved, they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in the last verse in chapter 21, is very clear. They're going to be in this new city, this new Jerusalem. And I want to close by reading verse 17 of chapter number 22. Behold, well, that's not what the way it reads. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. An invitation. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Don't ever charge God with unfairness when it comes to the matter of the names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because those names that are written there will come. They receive the invitation and they will come. Because they're thirsty. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's no conflict between God's writing those names in the Lamb's Book of Life and the people who willingly accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try to blame God for your sin and your hard-headedness and your refusal to submit to the glorious message of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You'll walk in that new Jerusalem. You'll go in and out in an eternal state, and it'll never end. I know I can't possibly help you to understand the fullness of this, but beloved, this is God's word. This is the last book in the Bible. That's why it's put here. This is the end of all matter. This is where the judgment takes place. And this is where the final abode of all those that are saved is described. And we're warned. Verse 7, chapter number 21 or 22, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I come quickly. And it could be at any moment. He says it again in verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. We are accountable for our actions to a holy God, to a loving God. Well, I'll tell you, I read the book of Jeremiah last night, and I don't know how God put up with Israel as he did, but time after time after time, he extended mercy and grace and kindness. And even when he carried him away with a message, I'm going to bring you back. And he did. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. Don't despise this offer that you hear in the gospel. Repent. And believe the gospel. That's the message. And beloved, you'll escape, as John said, you'll flee and escape the wrath that's coming. The judgment against man's sin. That's our message. Tim, you come. Lead us in a hymn of invitation.